Coming up, we meet an amazing Chippewa Valley family that spent more than 2 months of their summer living and serving at a poverty-stricken South Dakota Indian reservation. That's next on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Matt and Danielle Mink live south of Eau Claire with their four children. I began by asking Matt what prompted he and his wife to even be interested in serving at Pine Ridge.
4 or 5 years ago, God actually gave me a dream. Specifically, I was playing guitar with a gentleman, darker skin complexion than me, dark hair, you know, that was as much as I could remember, but we were passing the guitar back and forth and sharing our worship to God. And it took a while, but God gave me further clarity through more dreams and vision that specifically we were supposed to minister to Native Americans in some way. And it was a long journey, but he led us out to Pine Ridge eventually.
So, I mean, when did you go for the first time?
Yeah, it was probably about 4 years ago. We had friends reach out to us, say, hey, saw this thing about a mission trip to Pine Ridge. Know you're wondering about, you know, what God has for you in Native American ministry, and just thought we'd share. Maybe this is something. And there was immediately something from the Holy Spirit in my heart. I just knew that this was the direction we were supposed to go. So reached out, and eventually we were connected with a ministry out in Pine Ridge called the Lakota Hope Ministry. And at that time, it was headed up by a gentleman and his wife named Bruce and Marcia Bonfleur. And they'd been out there for about 20 years. And so we just got in touch and said, hey, you don't know me, I don't know you. But God's leading us out there. Can I come out there and stay for a weekend and just seek God and what he has for us?
So what was that weekend like, and what did you experience?
It was incredible. I originally had planned to go to a men's retreat that weekend and was feeling leading up to that point that God was telling me not to go to the men's retreat, and it was a bit baffling because I was really interested in going and always had gotten a lot out of it. But it turned out that that was the only weekend that Bruce had available for me to go. And so that was, even before I went, it was already life-changing because God was clearly speaking to me. And anytime you have a chance to really quiet yourself and listen to the Lord and follow his direction, it's just incredible. And so that alone was amazing, just being able to step out in that, knowing that this truly was what God had planned for that weekend. And, you know, he didn't disappoint. I met him there, and Bruce and I talked significantly about just what his ministry was and what he had been doing out there for so many years. It was just a learning experience for me. The last morning I was there, we had a chance to go out and minister to the street people of White Clay. White Clay is outside of the reservation borders, but it was plagued by four liquor stores, a town of 13 people that sold 12,000 cans of beer a day. And it's just a mile from the reservation. So the environment there was one of death and destruction and addiction, just a utter loss of hope. And to see these broken people on the street was something I had never experienced before. I had never been on any sort of mission trip or anything like that. This was very new to me. And so to be able to minister with people who just needed God so desperately, I found a greater understanding of God's love myself and what that meant through me.
Fast forward 4 years then, or several years later, to the winter, and your family wrestles in prayer, and you decide to open up your house to my family while you go to spend more than 2 months there in the Pine Ridge area. So talk about that experience and what you did and what that was like.
Yeah, we had recently adopted two children, which allowed us to be more flexible in our traveling here and there. And
your job allows that.
And my job, I'm a web developer, so I can work anywhere that I have an internet connection. So we felt that this was, I don't know, the harvest was ripe. Or how do you say it? It was ripe. The time was ripe for harvest. Yeah. Is that what it is? Yeah. So we just decided it was that it was time for us to step out again and in maybe a bigger way this time. So we reached out to Bruce again and said, "Hey, we're looking to come out again, maybe for an extended period of time, and just wondering what that might look like on your end." And he said, "Well, it just so happens that we're moving, and our home is available for you to stay indefinitely." So, yeah, jumped through a lot of hoops to make work arrangements. I went down to part time.
That was after you say you were praying. I mean, I almost pulled back on this story, but it's a great story. I mean, you're praying about whether you should go for the summer, and I post on Facebook from Liberia, West Africa, that, hey, if anybody's got a place, and what happened there?
Oh, that was honestly part of the answer to prayer, Mark. We had been praying for a couple weeks. You know, man, this is a big step. This is a big change for our family. What does that mean for our home? And you know, what do we do? Are we moving there? You know, what does God have for us? But yeah, looking at the summer, and it was in the midst of that praying that you posted and said, "Hey, we need somewhere to go for the summer." And it was just so clearly an answer from God saying, I've got a plan, and here's part of it. So I love when God's plans drop in your lap like that.
As I recall, I mean, your wife's answer came so quickly, and it was the only answer. It was the only invitation. We just had found out, unfortunately, we weren't able to stay where we'd stayed last summer, and so it worked out so well, and we're so grateful to you for the 7 weeks we stayed here, and you were away, and so hopefully we didn't wreck things too bad.
No. You know, and it's funny because people who maybe don't have necessarily a relationship with the Lord or at all or aren't walking closely with Him, you know, just had a very difficult time understanding how we could make a decision to do what we were doing. Mm-hmm. It seemed so foreign to them. Mm-hmm. Wait, so these people that you kind of know are just moving into your house for the summer? Yeah, that's
it's the Airbnb age.
That's right. And it was just such a foreign thing to them, but to us, this isn't our home. You know, this home was given to us by God. Mm. And
beautiful home.
We've just been given stewardship over it, and so it honestly in the moment was even a little surprising to us, honestly. Mm. But we didn't have any reservations about it whatsoever. It was so clearly from God, and we just had total peace about it because this isn't our home. It's for God to use.
Take me more back into what this summer was like, more than 2 months, because you're now I'm talking to you. You're just back from a weekend there, and your heart is obviously still, you love the Chippewa Valley and the church you're a part of. But you seem like you're also planning, like, when can we get back?
Yeah, we're definitely going back. We already have a planned visit for Thanksgiving. We have an amazing lady we met out there, Ruby. She's a 75-year-old woman who runs circles around us, and she's planning a Thanksgiving meal for the homeless out there. And so we're going to go out in Thanksgiving time for sure. But then in the long term, you know, wondering what God has for us. We're still praying about that. But there, God is so desperately needed out there.
What are you guys doing? What did you do there, and what did you see? And I know even with that 12,000 cans of beer, there's a story there too, right?
Yeah, this May was actually the 1 year anniversary of those beer stores shutting down, and that was an amazing answer to prayer. There, you can find news stories about it. It became a national news story. White Clay Beer Stores. You can look it up online. There's a gentleman, Abram Newman. He's now the interim director of Lakota Hope, but he played a huge role in making that become a reality. And so healing is happening there, and it's incredible to see that God is moving very clearly. So it was a very different landscape this summer than what we were used to. There being many street people, usually they'd kind of come flowing to the property, and we'd have opportunities to minister to them there. Different states of drunkenness and drug use, but even in those moments, we were always able to minister. But this time, It was, we still got lots of knocks on the door, people in need of help, but not so much from the street. There, I mean, it was a totally different landscape. It was totally cleaned up. Where people were sitting to get drunk every day, all day, we're meeting as a church every Sunday. And so it's incredible to see how God's changing the landscape out there. But we partnered with not only Lakota Hope Ministry, but another ministry out of Minneapolis, Serve Ventures. They've been out there for 25 years as well. And they have a big project going on right now to build tiny homes. The homes are not to be given, but to be purchased, subsidized heavily so that they're affordable. But it's an awesome project. They're partnering with a local organization there called the Oglala Sioux Tribe Partnership for Housing, an amazing organization that does a whole bunch of stuff. But one of the things they do is help get people into homes. There's a housing crisis. It rivals Haiti in its level of poverty. It's one of the poorest places
in which we always hear about as the poorest in this hemisphere. But this is right in America, and that's what's so staggering, right?
Yeah, I mean, you think about that. It's in the middle of the richest nation in the world, the most powerful nation in the world, and here we have, you're driving along across the nation through South Dakota, and all of a sudden you just find yourself in this foreign land, this third world country. Yeah, with the housing crisis, we're seeing statistics as high as 22,000 homes short. You've got people who are packed into these tiny trailers, these broken down trailers, usually 4 to 5 to 6 families all packed into one trailer. The destruction that does just from the living day to day, the black mold, the living conditions there are absolutely horrendous, and it's you don't have to go looking for it. As soon as you hit the reservation, it's immediately apparent.
So how can people come alongside you and help, either with a financial gift to the ministries you're working with or support you, or even I know that some folks from your church, Harvest Time in Eau Claire, did join you at least for a week, and how can people possibly take a trip themselves to see for themselves and be moved by God as to what might be next for them?
Yeah, what we've found for us is that it's important for us to partner with local people who have boots on the ground. We spent a long time getting to know this summer local Lakota pastors, and that's one of the really cool things is how God is raising up Lakota people to head up churches there. That's really cool, and so we're trying to partner with them. That's still a little nebulous. We don't really know exactly what that looks like even for us, but there are really great ministries that are out there and have a full-time presence. The two that I mentioned that we work with are the Lakota Hope Ministry and Serve Ventures. You can check them out online, lakotahope.org and servingchurch.org. Serve Ventures has a whole thing on there about the Tiny Home Project, and you can get in touch with them. They're looking to really bring in a lot more mission groups next year and wrap up these tiny homes and start on the next wave of homes to get these built. We've got 7 in progress right now. And the last I knew, there were about 100 applicants that had made it through the approval process at least. So there's a big backlog, and we need to get some homes built and get some people in homes. So that would be a great way. And they both got, in addition to going out there and being part of a mission group maybe, they've also obviously got ways to give online financially. We also are kind of acting in the Chippewa Valley as kind of a bridge. And again, we're trying to learn more about exactly what that means. But one way is to give home goods. Good stuff, couches, furniture, dressers, stuff like that. Things that we would put into these tiny homes. They're also starting a thrift store out there, something very similar to Hope Gospel Mission that we've got here in the Chippewa Valley. That's going to be headed up by a Lakota person, but that's all going to pour right back into the ministry. And so the last 2 times we've gone out, we've taken a whole trailer full out with us of windows and home goods, pots and pans and things like that. So if you have gently used items, stuff in good shape that you'd be willing to give, we're kind of the hub for that, at least for now.
Our thanks to Matt Mink for sharing the story of he and his wife Danielle and their 4 kids serving at the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota, with us on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson.